Kennedy, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Hunter Haas here with Brett Johnson, filling in for Matt McNeil on the last day of substitute hosts for the Matt McNeil Show. Matt will be back tomorrow, so we're excited to have Matt back. But today you have me and Brett filling in. And Brett, I've spent a lot of time at the state fair the past week. Have you gotten a chance to get out there yet?
I have not, no. I only go once every few years. Too many people for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Any plans to go this year?
Not really, no.
Well,
unless something changes, but I know you're quite the celebrity over there at the state fair with some of our listeners.
Yeah, so this Saturday I was out there to produce I'm Awake Live. We did a broadcast in the International Bazaar, and it was right before the Native Pride dancers took the stage. And there were a lot of AM950 fans that attended and were there for the broadcast. And yeah, I met a lot of people that knew who I was, and I was kind of like, how can you tell who I am? Like, there's no way to know what I look like unless you watch the live stream, but I must have been jabbering and they heard my voice. But yeah, it was great to meet a lot of fans, and it was a great time at the fair. I did a lot of political things. I saw Jeff Johnson. I didn't go up and talk to him, but I saw him.
You didn't invite him on today's show?
I know. I thought, nah, he wouldn't have wanted to talk to me. I got a picture, though, of him behind me. I did a selfie with him in the background talking to some other guy. He was at, I think he was at his own booth, but it might have been the Doug Warlow booth.
My favorite guy, Doug Warlow.
Oh, my God. Ugh, I don't even like the looks of Doug. He has that conservative Republican look to him.
He looks like a guy who would be your stereotypical Alliance for Defending Freedom lawyer. Yeah.
Totally.
Just looks like kind of an uptight white guy, mm-hmm. That's best way I can put it, which he kind of is.
Yeah, I mean,
at least with his views. Maybe he's a great guy to meet in person, but
totally.
If just he works views. For the Alliance for Defending Freedom, I just can't get by that. A group that's called a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Ugh.
Yeah, that's disgusting behavior. But I stopped by the DFL booth. There was a lot of people there. I was there on Saturday, so there was a lot of people at the fair. But a lot of people energized for these midterm elections, and all the candidates had tables set up at the DFL booth. Dean Phillips had a booth just a couple stands away that a lot of people were out talking with his people. I didn't see any of the DFL candidates when I was there. I know Robert Pilot met like everyone, basically. He met Mark Dayton, Tim Walz, Peggy Flanagan, Dean Phillips. He was good at spotting the political celebs when he was out there.
Did he catch Mark Dayton when apparently he was out there in disguise for a while?
Oh,
was
really?
The governor, yeah, trying to just go as a grandpa out there as a regular person. Yeah, he had like a hat and sunglasses on.
So the picture I saw, it was Mark Dayton looked like Mark Dayton. There was
okay,
no
so
disguise
he looked like the
on.
Governor, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure where Robert ran into him, but you know what the A-list spotting would be is Al Franken. He said he would be at the state fair this year. So if you could find Al Franken, I'm sure he's going to have a disguise on, though. He'll be bothered by a lot of those right-wingers. And let's see. Oh, yeah, it was a good time at the fair. I got my turkey sandwich. That's my favorite thing at the fair, the fried turkey sandwich. Eric wasn't impressed that was my favorite thing. He's like, a turkey sandwich? I'm like, come on, it's fried, it's really good.
Well, Eric's not here to defend himself. What did Eric get that he liked?
Deep-fried Snickers bar.
That was his favorite? Okay. We can take Eric to task a little bit for that.
I understand. I do get those sometimes, but I'm always sick afterwards.
Just look at the name of the thing.
Oh, I know. It's just a stomach ache guaranteed for me every time. But I still do it, and I get the deep-fried Oreos, too. What's crazy is the Miss Fields. They make $3 million in the 2 weeks of the state fair every year.
Well, that's what I heard. Is it them or Sweet Martha Cookies?
Yeah,
it's their whole business model is the state fair, and they pretty much do nothing the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And they still make, yeah, millions of bucks.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did wander into the GOP booth right next to Sweet Martha's, and I took a picture with their cardboard cutout Trump.
Oh, we got. You got to throw this on the AM950 social media page. We got to say Hunter's had an awakening.
And
he's a Trumpist now.
I was nervous. I can't remember what shirt I was wearing, but it was definitely left-wing oriented. And I was walking through there, and a lady goes, "Oh, do you want me to take your picture?" And I was like, "Yes," but nervous. But no, they let me in there. I tried to look at their clearance T-shirts to see if there was any good ones to buy so I could have a disguise sometime. But no, I wasn't into any of them.
You didn't get a picture with any GOP candidates, huh?
No,
outside
just
of photobombing Jeff Johnson.
Yep, just photobombing Jeff Johnson. But yeah, while I was at the fair, I met a lot of you listeners, and thank you for all the encouragement and nice things you said about the station and me. So I thought today would be good to, since I've been filling in as a host kind of regularly, to kind of give the listeners some more info on my background and how I became politically aware and my family's history in this, because it kind of is an interesting story. So I'll start with going way back to World War One. My great-grandfather, who kind of plays a role in all of our lives after this, so he's important to mention, he was a cornet player for the John Philip Sousa Band, so like the Stars and Stripes Forever March. He was a rock star of his day because there was really no bigger band than the John Philip Sousa Band in World War One, and he went on to start Growth Music here in the Twin Cities in 1939, which is still run by my family today. He had a daughter who married my grandfather, and she eventually, my grandma, went on to run Growth Music for most of my life. She just recently retired, now my aunt runs it. But my grandfather, he developed bombs for Honeywell, and he was very secretive about what he did, but he had a lot of connections to Israel, and he was a hardcore right-winger his entire life. And they had three daughters. My mother was the middle daughter and the rebel of the family. My mom has been calling herself a socialist since well before it was in vogue to do so, before it was socially acceptable, when it was still scary to call yourself a socialist. But she's been a lifelong Democrat voting. And then on my other side of the family, my grandpa of my dad, or my dad's dad, was a blue-collar Union railroad builder. He did that his entire life. My grandma was at home raising my dad and my aunt, who's now deceased. But my dad ended up becoming an accountant who worked for Growth Music. So my grandma ran it. My dad was the accountant. And my mom stayed home with me when I was growing up. And my parents weren't very political when I was young. My dad was kind of in the early 90s, like maybe sort of a Republican, just because he had a business background and was all about numbers, and the Republican Party was a lot different at that time than it is today. But they ended up getting divorced when I was about 12 years old, and my mom moved to Minneapolis. She moved around a couple places, but ended up buying a house in North Minneapolis. And I was growing up in Lakeville, where I attended schools. And when they were divorced, I had a unique situation. I had split custody between the two. So I lived half the time in Lakeville, where I attended school all the time, and the other half in Minneapolis. It was between South Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis, and North Minneapolis. We weren't super political. I remember we did support Jesse Ventura, which was just because it was such an odd phenomenon.
I get that. A lot of people did that back then that normally vote Democrat, including my dad.
Mm-hmm. It was exciting. He seemed different. There wasn't really any controversial stances he had. And it was just the time, it was when wrestling was really popular, too.
Oh, that was in the height of the NWO.
It totally was.
And the, a lot of big stuff then, yeah. And so he had those ads as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and I had all of his dolls and his shirt. But that was the first race that, like, excited me. And then as Jesse was governor, my family kind of drifted from him. There was more the election that was exciting to us. And my mother got a job at – while he was still governor, actually, as photographer for the Minnesota State Senate. And my entire life, I never had daycare. I was always raised at the music shop. And then when my mom worked at the Capitol, I'd spend a lot of time at the Capitol with her too. And they totally let me. The Senate media would let me hang out in the offices. And then I would go on the shoots with my mom and explore the Capitol and all their little gerbil tunnels they have down there. Have you ever seen those, Brett?
I have not, no.
Yeah,
no.
So the Capitol, there's the building. But then there's all these underground tunnels that connect all the other buildings. And there's a whole just ecosystem down there that is hidden from the public. But I was exploring those when I was about 11, 12 years old pretty frequently. No, I'd find my way. Sometimes I'd bring a scooter down there even.
Not a bird scooter. Well, that was before the time when we had those annoying bird and what's the other one? Lime scooters.
Yeah, it was right when are they called Segways, the standing ones? Right when those came out, and a lot of the senators would start using those, but I don't think you see those around much anymore. It was kind of just a trendy thing for that year. But also, very important to what caused my political awareness was George W. Bush was president at this time. And that definitely heightened my awareness. One, being around just the state Senate and the Capitol in general, being aware of the process and watching George W. Bush govern. And I remember there was a lot of the time, those first few years, he was wildly popular, but I was not agreeing with the things he was doing. Even when the Afghanistan and Iraq wars were first announced, before we knew there was lies involved with the Iraq war, I was totally opposed to going to war. I've always been, and my family has been, anti-war. That's usually the number one issue to us. Like, if a war comes up, we're against the war. I haven't seen, in my personal opinion, and people may disagree with me, but a just war since World War II that the United States has been involved with, I don't see it necessary. But that definitely jump-started things, and I started to look into things on my own. And in 2002, Roger Moe was running for governor, and he was the state Senate majority leader, and he was for about 30 years, but my mom got very involved with his campaign, and that entire summer I watched her working for his campaign as the photographer and going to all those events, and ironically, I said I wanted to choose my own candidate, so I was living in Lakeville at the time, going to Lakeville schools, and Bill Luther was running, so I made all these handmade Bill Luther signs, and he was my guy when I was about 12 years old. And why it's funny is because if you don't know, Bill Luther's wife, Janet Roberts, started AM 950. So this kind of came full circle, and I hadn't thought much of Bill Luther over like the 10 years since that. But then when I got invited to his house for AM 950 party, I'm like, this is so funny that it's coming back to the guy it started with. Roger Moe lost. Tim Pawlenty became the governor. And Pawlenty made a lot of budget cuts. And he got rid of the Senate media. And she lost her job as the state Senate photographer. It was very sad because we had to go through the loss of our candidate where my mom would have been the governor's photographer and losing her job entirely. This kind of supercharged my awareness. I started getting involved heavily. I started the Young Democrats Club in Lakeville, and I was the only member at first. I remember since I started the Young Democrats Club, they decided to have a school debate, and it was me at a table in the auditorium, and then seven members of the Young Republicans, and we debated. I don't remember how it went, but I held my own against them, and I was outnumbered. But I stayed really involved. The subjects I was best at in school were music and then modern American history, which was from World War II to the present day. And I remember I would get 100% on all those tests, and I would never study. I just remembered everything from the class. I loved that class, and I stayed involved. But I'll fast forward a bit. I graduate high school, and I move out to New York, and I pursue music, which has been my family's business for my entire life. And I lived in 7 years out in New York, and I was a DJ and in a band, and it was successful. But there came a time where I decided that this wasn't what I wanted to do the rest of my life. And I decided to move back to Minnesota with no plan. And I got here and I realized I have no idea what I'm doing anymore. This is all I've known. And now I'm here. I don't really have any plans. So I went from odd job to odd job for a while. And also the 2016 presidential election was going on at that time. And I got re-involved in politics. Because when I was in New York, we had Obama as president. It kind of took a little vacation for 8 years. I didn't feel as much of a need to be pushing and being an activist as much as I did when I was younger. The time seemed simpler. We didn't have George W. Bush anymore. But then we have this Trump character coming around. So I watched those results, and I was devastated. And I knew I had to get back into this. And it was about 6 months after he actually took office that AM950 was advertising that they were hiring a producer. I heard the ad, and it was at a time where the job I had before I worked here was I was delivering pizzas, and I was not very happy. And when I heard that ad, I was like, oh, you're looking for me. And I remember I came to the interview and met Brett and Chad, and I recognized Brett's voice immediately. And they hired me, and they helped me find – I'm so grateful for this experience because I was able to find my other passion in life. Like music was something I always knew I was going to be involved with, but I no longer wanted to do it as a profession. So the only other thing that ever came as close was politics and left-wing politics. And for this station to exist and for me to have a place at it, it means so much, and it has just rejuvenated my life. It's given it purpose and fulfillment, and I'm so grateful for the experience. But that's how I became politically aware. So if you want to call us, give us a call at 952-946-6205. Why don't you tell us how you became politically active or left-wing or a Democrat or a progressive? And we'll be right back after this.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
Now through September 1st at the Museum of Russian Art is an exhibition of Minneapolis-based painter Leon Hasha. The Art of Leon Hasha, Balancing Act, showcases more than 50 pieces from 29 different collectors in the largest show ever of his bold and colorful work. A hometown favorite, the energy of Leon's playful art spans sculptures, paintings, and non-traditional media. See for yourself today and bring home a signed print or exhibition catalog from the museum store. For details, visit tmora.org.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake. Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Hi, Sarah from Vinaigrette. Farmers markets are everywhere and summer's bounty is limitless. Try a rustic caprese salad using spring mix, fresh mozzarella, grape or cherry tomatoes, red onion, fresh basil, garlic olive oil, and our 18-year age balsamic. Or try grilled romaine brushed with Tunisian olive oil. Vinaigrette makes it easy to love your vegetables. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis or 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson filling in for Matt McNeil, who will return tomorrow. Matt will be back at his normal time, 3 o'clock, and he'll be here from then on out. But Julie has been on hold for quite a while. I want to get to Julie. Julie? Hello? Are you there?
Looks like we don't have Julie anymore.
All right. Well, Julie, give us a call back. One thing I want to note is today a abrupt change came over the airwaves of the Twin Cities. 96.7 Pride Radio abruptly replaced by KFAN Plus Sports Talk. So people tuning in to 96.7 on the radio dials were confused as they heard Sports Talk instead of the usual Pride Radio. Now, Pride Radio was launched in 2015 during that year's Pride Month and was heralded as the first FM station in America dedicated entirely to programming for an LGBTQ audience. The groundbreaking station was to feature acts like Madonna, Sam Smith, and Katy Perry while also becoming a platform for the LGBTQ community. So they took away the Gay Pride radio station and replaced it with another KFAN on the FM dial.
We don't have enough sports talk in this station, you know, Hunter.
Oh, my God. And see, this is the danger of corporate radio, is they can just up and switch formats at a moment's notice with no care to what the previous format is.
Here, and as you said, it's iHeartRadio, which, if you're not familiar, that used to be Clear Channel, one of the I think they're the biggest owner of radio stations. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but here at AM 950, we're in a rare situation that we're independently owned, that Chad is the highest up that you can find at AM 950. We have no corporate entities above us that could just pull the plug and switch us to another conservative talk radio station. And that's what's important, to support independent radio, because it's few and far between, because they changed the law in the 90s and allowed these corporations to buy up all the airwaves, and it's between just two or three huge conglomerates that own the airwaves, and they do this stuff, and that's why radio sounds the same wherever you go in the country. You'll find the same format, the same songs playing, and that's why instead of a unique Pride Radio that we had here in the Twin Cities, we now have KFAN Plus.
And it's also why when people say, well, why is Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity on 3,000 radio stations? Well, it's all owned by one company, and they just want to make everything uniform. It reduces their costs to do that rather than to have a bunch of unique shows. So it's not because Rush or Hannity are necessarily drawing good ratings. It's because it's just a cookie-cutter format that every every station can have the same exact format. Norman Goldman, by the way, has gone into great detail about this, how he was outdrawing these guys in a lot of major markets, and of course he got canceled. Here comes Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck and those guys, and they're drawing like a 0.1 in the ratings. So
yeah, and that's the problem with corporate radio like that, because even ratings aren't what they want to air. Because if you remember early on, Howard Stern would outperform all the radio stations, but none of the stations wanted to air Howard Stern because of his controversy. So you mentioned how many stations Rush Limbaugh and Hannity are on, and the ratings they get from that is because they're on an overwhelming amount of airwaves. You just can't get away from them. So, of course, a lot of people are going to be tuning in because that's what comes in everywhere.
Yeah, it's quantity over quality. It's kind of the mantra of conservative radio, unfortunately.
We'll get to Julie in just 1 minute, but you had a thought of what – so KFAM Plus is going to be a bunch of nationally syndicated sports talkers.
Because who wants to hear Dan Patrick?
We got –
those guys. And yeah, Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, exactly. Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, Clay Travis. I'm not even aware who that is, but it's all national talkers for now. But I have a hunch that they're going to switch to local sports talkers and local right-wing sports talkers, as they tend to sway.
Yeah, typically local sports talk hosts tend to sway to the right, and I know I won't name any names, but I know there are some local right-wing sports talk guys who might be looking for a show coming up, so yeah, unfortunately wouldn't be surprised if they possibly end up there and yet put more right-wingers on the radio.
Did you have someone in specific?
I'm not naming names.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that, but there are some that might be looking in the future.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all if we do get sports talk on this KFAM Plus, but we get a lot of right-wing interjection as well.
But as you said, that's why you support AM 950. It's not only rare to have an independently owned station, but an independently owned station in a major metropolitan mm-hmm. area. There are some indie stations in like rural small towns. I happen to work for a couple of them, which was great, but very rare to find these independently owned stations in major metropolitan areas like Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And I forgot to mention in that first segment when I was talking about my background that I actually started listening to this station when it started in 2003, 2004 when it was Air America. I had to build a radio in Lakeville so I could get the proper signal. But I started tuning in when I was about 13, 14 years old. So that's another reason why working here was so full circle, that I was supporting Bill Luther back then, listening to AM 950, and then to become a part of this team was so special for me. But we'll get to Julie. Julie in Minneapolis, sorry about that earlier. You wanted to talk about the power of radio and local Minnesota politics? Julie, are you there?
Look, we lost her again. Her phone must be kind of cutting in and out, so...
Oh, that's a bummer.
She's still got another strike to work with if we're going baseball terms.
Yeah, that's
no, I'm
strike.
Just kidding, Julie. Call on back.
All right. Well, we will take a break, and when we get back, I've got here in my hands an official ballot for the Minnesota House of Representatives 2018 State Fair ballot. And me and Brett will go through this and answer the 12 questions they have on what Minnesotans think about upcoming issues that the legislator will face. Here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
It's summertime and the neighborhood is full of activity. Blue Sky Services offers power washing and soft washing for home siding, composite decks, walkways, roofs, and more. They will have your home sparkling like new without damaging your exterior, landscape, or yard. Call 651-447-4484 to take advantage of the final sale before the fall, this month only. Get an early start with Blue Sky's August sale prices and keep your house looking healthy while adding value to your home. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson filling in for Matt McNeil, who will return tomorrow. And Julie, please call us back. We just realized that the phone problem was on our end. The power went out in the station, and me and Brett looked at it at the break, and it was our problem. So give us a call. We'll get you through this time. Sorry about that. Again, our number is 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. But I got something here. It's the official ballot from the Minnesota of House of Representatives 2018 State Fair ballot. Now, they do this every year as a poll of – it's an unscientific poll, but of issues that are going to most likely arise in this year's legislative session, and they just want to get a general feel for how Minnesotans – feel on these issues. Now, they're not super partisan issues, not like super controversial, so me and Brett are going to go through these and each give our answer on how we feel about it. So, Brett, you ready for this?
Let's do it. Let's see where we disagree.
Yeah, we'll have a conversation, too.
As long as we were talking about before, the new sports talk channel, we'll do the old ESPN embrace the debate.
Yep.
And just disagree for the heck of it like they do on sports talk.
Yeah, what's that show, the ESPN show that plays every day?
I just call every show on ESPN Sports Yelling.
Sports Yelling.
Whoever yells the loudest is usually right.
Pardon the interruption, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that show's actually kind of good, though. That's about the one debate show I can take.
All right, so question one. I think we'll agree. Should criminal background checks be required on all gun sales, including private transactions and at gun shows? I say yes. Brett?
So I'm assuming the answers on these are yes, no, or maybe, right? Oh. There's like no strongly agree, or...
Yes, I should have clarified that. The answers are yes, no, or undecided slash no opinion. And there's a couple I am undecided on.
Really? Okay. All right. You're one of those fence sitters for a while. I won't leave you in suspense. I'm definitely a yes on that with you as well.
Totally. I mean, I was just thinking about this, too, as we had the Madden tournament shooting this weekend. And we have to have a system set up where more red flags arise to keep guns out of people that shouldn't have them. And I don't know exactly how we align that, but we have when cases in your history, your medical history, might point out that you wouldn't be a good gun owner, because really there's not that many. It's like if you're a felon, you can't have a gun for while you're doing your probation. You can afterwards, actually, for a lot of felonies, but there's not that many things to prevent you from your background from owning a gun. So we have to have a way to better look people up.
Yeah, I agree. We absolutely need that. And I was going to say, if you will also want to call in, if you disagree with us or agree with us on any of these, feel free to give us a call as well.
Yeah.
952-946-6205. Didn't even have the number right in front of me. You at least luck out. You get that phone number written right in front of you.
Yeah, I can't even find it with all those things. Yeah. We got Wi-Fi passwords and email addresses.
Yeah, you could at least give people the Wi-Fi password for some unhelpful reason.
All right. Question two. Should grocery and convenience stores be allowed to sell beer, wine, and distilled spirits? Brett, what do you think? Yes, no, undecided.
I haven't really thought about the issue very much, so I'm going to go undecided. I could really be persuaded either way, probably.
All right, I am going to say yes, because like I said, I lived in New York for 7 years, and in New York, beer is classified as a food, so it's available for sale in all bodegas and grocery stores 24 hours a day or as long as the business is open, and it worked fine there. So this isn't calling for that. It's calling, should grocery stores and convenience stores be allowed to sell beer, wine, and distilled spirits? I totally think it should. I think Minnesota has a lot of backwards liquor laws, in my opinion.
Actually, my question is now, would they just be selling these on the general store shelves, or would they do like what I have a Lunds and Byerly's by me that has kind of their own separate liquor store next to the grocery store?
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
that's what
I want
to know more about with that question.
Yep, it doesn't go into that in their phrasing, but I believe both could be an option. But you would have to pass something like this first. All right. Question three. Should pharmaceutical companies be charged a fee for every opioid painkiller they sell, the so-called penny a pill plan, with the money going to abuse prevention and treatment? And I totally say yes.
Absolutely. I'm in favor of that as well. I mean, a lot of time doctors can prescribe this because I think there's some incentives to prescribe opioid pills. So if we're going to do that, at least make the drug manufacturers pay for it themselves.
And we have an opioid epidemic going on, yes, in this country that 100% stems from the increase of pharmaceutical companies in prescribing opioid painkillers. Because if you go back 20 years, 30 years, your average person could not acquire any opioid, like heroin or morphine or any of that. That was just a foreign taboo that no one would have any idea how to get that. But with the increase of prescriptions, these were found in so many people's medicine cabinets, and people either were prescribed them themselves or they experimented, and a lot of habits were made. And now we have an epidemic going on. So yes, they are responsible for paying in part for some of this abuse prevention and treatment efforts, I'd think.
And going to what Matt McNeil said after his hernia procedure, I'm not sure if you were here for that show, but he was saying just how shocked he was by how many opioid pills they prescribed him. I mean, he said he could see how it would be very easy to get addicted with how many they gave him. He, of course, didn't take all of them, but he said, wow, I mean, he was just shocked by how many he ended up with from these doctors.
Yeah, it's a total problem. Some things are going in the right direction, but I believe they have a lot of debt to society for what they've caused. All right, question number four. Should school districts be required to establish threat assessment teams, which include school officials and local law enforcement, to intervene when a student is displaying behavior that may cause harm to others? Now, I don't really know what this means, so I have to go undecided, no opinion on this one, because threat assessment teams, which include school officials and local law enforcement, it's like it sounds good, but is this a step towards arming the teachers? I'm not really certain. Brett's busy on a call. Oh, Brett's back. Here, I'll read the question for you.
I was going to say, I'm like the kid who doesn't listen in school. I have no idea what you asked.
So I was undecided on this one, but the question is, should school districts be required to establish threat assessment teams, which include school officials and local law enforcement, to intervene when a student is displaying behaviors that may cause harm to others? I don't really know what it means personally. So
I don't either.
I had to say undecided.
I would have to be a very depressing yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is probably a good idea, but a more depressing, why do we need to do this in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good point. I just don't know what this entails. So I'm not ready to say yes, because is it a step towards arming the teachers? I'd have to know more about what this plan
is. That's a route we don't want to go down.
No. Yeah. But question five, should Minnesota allow the recreational use of marijuana for those age 21 and over? Brett, what do you think?
No, I don't know why we're putting it at 21. It should just be 18, like cigarettes. That's the only reason I'd say no.
Well, that's a good point. I was going to say yes. But yeah, that 18 makes more sense. And my main reason for this is we need to quit creating criminals. People that use marijuana, they create criminal records, and they get in a lot of trouble for the same offense over and over again. So absolutely, and we have to add expungement of records to this.
Yeah, definitely. No reason why it's illegal. It's just crazy when you compare that to I won't even get into it, but I'd say alcohol is much more dangerous than marijuana, and yet that's completely legal.
Yeah, we've come to a new point. It's much more accepted. Most of the country wants it legalized, so yes. All right, question six. The U.S. Supreme Court recently ruled sports gambling cannot be limited to Nevada. Should Minnesota legalize and regulate sports gambling? I say yes.
I could probably be convinced either way, so I'm in the dreaded no opinion zone.
Because I am typically of the mindset of, gambling, it's occurring anyways here in Minnesota. People are going online to do it. Why not get a piece of it?
Yeah, I could buy that. I don't feel too strongly either way. I haven't thought a whole lot about the issue, so I could be convinced either way. If you disagree with Hunter, give us a call. Maybe you can convince me to go the other way. But I'll lean your way for now just because I haven't thought a whole lot about the issue.
All right, question seven. Should employers be allowed to pay lower hourly wages to tipped workers, such as restaurant waitstaff, if tips bring their pay to $14 an hour for large employers and $12 an hour for small employers?
No, no, no.
No.
Tips are not wages. Let me repeat that again. Tips are supposed to be bonuses. They're not supposed to be considered wages. That misses the whole point of what a tip is.
And our goal as a society should be to create more living wage jobs, not creating a ton of these jobs that are just scratching the surface and allowing people to struggle to get by. That's the problem I have with the gig economy, is that it's becoming so prevalent and so unregulated. So things like this I'm fundamentally opposed to. All right, question eight. Should adults between the ages of 18 and 60 who do not have a disability and are not the sole caregivers of a child or incapacitated family member be required to work at least 80 hours per month in order to receive Medicaid benefits? So adults who do not have a disability, should they be required to work 80 hours per month in order to receive Medicaid benefits? I say no.
I say no as well. That's not really the point of society. Healthcare is a right. It's not a privilege.
Yep. And then
I've heard Matt say this before. A lot of times conservatives think privileges are rights and rights are privileges. They have that backwards, and healthcare is a right. You can work 0 hours for all I care and just sit at home all day. You still deserve medical care.
So we got four questions left. We'll do these quick. Should elder care facilities be required to allow families to place electronic monitoring devices such as cameras in the rooms or private living spaces of residents in order to monitor their care and well-being? So this is saying, should you be allowed to put cameras to monitor the staff of the caregiving place? And I don't know. I know my grandpa was just in one of these, and my dad did put a camera, but it was just to monitor my grandpa. So I didn't know this was a problem.
I would go yes, because it's a huge issue of people abusing a lot of elderly people, but I think it stems more from the fact that the caregivers themselves are not paid a lot of money, so you're not necessarily, in the words of Donald Trump, getting the best people to work at these facilities because they're paid so little.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a yes, but it's a larger cause as to why it's a yes.
Yeah, mine is just no opinion because I didn't realize there was an issue here because we just put a camera in.
Yeah, so. Star Tribune did a big series about this a couple of years ago about how a lot of elderly people are getting abused.
Okay, should the state constitution be amended to require revenue from the state sale of auto parts and repairs be dedicated to fund road and bridge improvements? So the sale of auto parts and repairs dedicated to fund roads. I'm undecided.
I need to know more about this. Does that mean it only can go to Rosa, not to Mass
Transit?
And that's,
that's why I'm not sure if it's
that
a good
seems
idea.
Seems like one of those Trojan horse things that a lot of conservatives throw on there.
Exactly. So I'm undecided. Have to know more. Some cities, including Minneapolis and St. Louis Park, have banned certain types of plastic non-recyclable to-go containers at restaurants. Should Minnesota institute a statewide ban of these types of containers? I'm going to say no, only because of the statewide ban and how severe that is. I believe we should decrease our use of these, but not on an all-in-out ban.
Doesn't cause a huge burden on the businesses. Why not ban them? They're not necessarily good for the environment. But
so you say yes?
I have to see a little bit more, but I would say tentatively yes.
Okay. There's a disagreement.
There's our first disagreement. All right. Get into sports talk yelling now.
Well, we got to kind of wrap this up. But question 12, would you support increasing fees to help maintain the state parks and trails? It just says increasing fees. So is that park fees?
Yeah, not sure on that.
Unsure, because it's not clear. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and Rich will get to your call after this break. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Hunter Hawes with Brett Johnson, filling in for Matt McNeil, and we'll be right back after this.
The State Fair has always been full of treats. From corn dogs to cheese curds to anything on a stick, now you can add a new furnace and air conditioner to that list. Announcing Standard Heating and Air Conditioning State Fair Sale. Get a new air conditioner for just $2,500 when you install a new high-efficiency furnace by September 3rd. Discover more about how you can take advantage of Standard State Fair Sale at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Minnesota has a lot going on this summer, and I don't want to miss a moment of it. However, my carpets remind me of the good times later. That's why I call Zero Res. I'm not willing to waste a beautiful summer weekend washing rugs, so don't worry, because the carpet cleaning heroes at Zero Res can help. So schedule your cleaning today by calling 952-ZERO-RES, or you can book online at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Don't forget to ask for the special AM 950 listener pricing. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward. It spells the same.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson filling in for the last day of Matt McNeil's vacation. He will be back tomorrow. And Rich has been patiently on hold from Tempe, Arizona. Rich, it's great to hear from you from Arizona.
Well, I've been listening to you guys the last couple of years or so. We lost Progressive Radio here in Phoenix, July of last year.
That's terrible.
So,
but just out of curiosity, did they replace that with more right-wing or sports talk radio?
No, completely dead air, 1480, completely dead air.
Even worse.
Yeah, so anyway, you keep mentioning about the fair going on. I remember a year ago, Matt said there was a great food stand at the fairgrounds, and Randy said he couldn't find it, so Matt said that he personally show Randy in person. Do you think that's still going on?
Oh, do you think Matt timed his vacation to get out of that little bet? I think he did. I remember. I know exactly what you're talking about, Rich. We're going to call Matt out on that tomorrow. I at least am.
Well, good memory with that, Rich.
Yeah.
Do you remember what food stand it was?
What's that?
Do you remember which food stand it was?
No, I just vaguely remember some great food stand that Matt really, really liked, and Randy couldn't find it. So Matt said a year ago that we'll show Randy in person. Do you think that's still going on?
Well,
that's what I was calling about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Rich. I'll call Matt out on that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll ask Matt about this, and we'll find out for you. Good question and great memory. Thanks for listening for so long, Rich. And speaking of the State Fair, I got a little news here that Tim Walz and Jeff Johnson are to debate at the State Fair this Friday. They will be doing a radio debate, and the time is 11 a.m. this Friday at, I'm guessing the NPR booth because it's going to be aired on NPR, but it doesn't say exactly where the two will be. So, chance to see Jeff Johnson, Tim Walz debate again. They've already had one debate last week. Did you catch any of that, Brent?
I didn't catch any of it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have too many more. My prediction is in a couple weeks, I think you're going to see a lot of Republican resources dry up from the Jeff Johnson and Karen Housley campaigns.
Yeah,
at least my call.
Two of the things that they differed most starkly on is Jeff Johnson said he would try and end a state refugee resettlement program and tamp down on government intrusion in business and individual lives, but he would support a move to make recreational marijuana legal in Minnesota. Interesting. And Tim Walz said he would support legalizing recreational marijuana and expunge records, raise the gas tax to pay for transportation products, and work to bridge the urban and rural divide in the state, which I believe he would be best at doing as he's a rural congressman.
Jeff Johnson's in kind of a funny position with that. He's technically a suburban, what is it, Hennepin County Commissioner? But
yeah,
he portrays himself as being, I'm Mr. Rural, and the big city Minneapolis Democrats want to rule your life.
He's the Hennepin County Commissioner.
Yeah.
Who's more of a big city politician? You're the commissioner of the big city of Minnesota.
Yeah, he's just...
He's a phony.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's disgusting how much emphasis he puts on this, trying to end state refugee resettlement programs. I get Facebook-sponsored ads all the time from him or the Freedom Club or all these groups I'm not even a fan of on Facebook, but I get the ads. And how am I being targeted?
Did you say one of those groups was called the Freedom Club?
The Freedom Club.
Why don't they just make a group, Americans for America, or something like that? I mean,
the Freedom
how generic
Club
do these names have to get?
Is how I found out about the Keith Ellison accusations, because they had it the moment it came out, and they had sponsored ads. And I'm like, why am I finding out about it from the Freedom Club?
Hmm.
It was a little fishy to me. But, yeah, Tim Walz, Jeff Johnson, debating Friday at 11 a.m. at the State Fair. So you can come out and watch them. Oh, it says at Dan Patch Park. Do you know where that is? I have no idea where that is.
I think.
Is that?
That's not the State Fair. That's like south of the river, isn't it?
It says.
Like Burnsville?
It says at the State Fairgrounds.
Interesting. I always
in person
associated
at
Dan
Patch,
Patch with the bridge down in Bloomington, Burnsville.
I think it's that park right by the where the milk stand is and the 89.3 booth. In between there, they have a little bridge in that. But anyways, it's Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson signing off on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. Thanks, y'all.